Well, when the Spirit of God is left to do what the Spirit of God does, it's amazing how he brings everything together. And there's a lot of what I've got in the message today that has already been said, so I'll try to avoid repeating. But there are some things that I think God really wants us to follow. For a few weeks now, this part of John 15 and verse 5 has been on my spirit and been ringing through my spirit, and that's the few words, apart from me, you can do nothing. The full verse is, I am the vine, you are the branches, the one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And I have mentioned this before, but not in recent years, I don't think. Here John is talking about the spiritual vine and the importance of being joined to the Spirit of God and to the vine, which is the Father. The vine is Jesus. The Father is the gardener. We need to let the Spirit of God flow through us. And the opposite is interesting in Ezekiel 15. You know, when we were in America, GC used to say, if you go through the Bible and look at the 3:16s in every chapter, you'll find that there are lots of things connected and you're tapping into something, follow it through. And so I thought, I wonder if there's a 15, 1 to 5 about the opposite of the vine. And in Ezekiel 15, we come across Jerusalem, the natural vine, and it's called a useless vine. This is us without the Spirit of God. We are useless. In the NRV, it says, the word of the Lord came to me, this is to Ezekiel, son of man, how is the wood of a vine? How is the wood of a vine better than that of a branch on any of the trees in the forest? Is wood ever taken from it to make anything useful? Do they make pegs from it to hang things on? And after it's thrown into the fire as fuel, and the fire burns both ends and chars the middle, is it then useful for anything? If it's not useful for anything when it was whole, how much less can it be made into something useful when the fire has burned it and it is charred? That's a picture of us as natural vines. We in ourselves are absolutely nothing. And that's why in John 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches, remain in me and I in you. Otherwise, you can't bear any fruit, you can't do anything without my spirit. The spirit is vital to our existence. But the whole picture changes when we allow the Spirit of God to take control. Andrew sent me a Facebook post this week, and it's from a girl, she's only a young girl, called Kendra Price. I've not heard of her. But she said this, you cannot be whom God intended you to be when you are not in the state God created you to be in. She goes on, let's put it this way. When God wanted to create fish, he spoke to the sea. When God wanted to create trees, he spoke to the earth. But when God wanted to create us, he spoke to himself. And in Genesis 1, 26 to 31, then God said, let us make man in our own image and in our likeness. Wow. It was an agreement between God and Jesus. If you take a fish out of the water, it dies. If you remove a tree from the soil, it dies. Likewise, when man is disconnected from God, he dies spiritually. God is our natural environment. We were created to live in his presence. It's only in him that life exists. It's in him we live and move and have our being. Amen. She goes on to say, chronic use forces the body to adapt, to compensate. When we're without the Holy Spirit, we had to adapt to be this way. The word adapt really means to become adjusted to new conditions. We become comfortable in our sinful state. Comfortable in praying less, in praising less. Comfortable with being more selfish and more self-centered. We are without the Holy Spirit, but I guarantee that there is a spirit at work in your life, and it isn't God. That's what's been happening. And you know, I think that this describes a large percentage of the church today. And it's time to stop playing church and to be the church. Amen. There's quite a few things I think I shall pass by on these because it's been said. But we know that the word is vital to life, the word of God. The washing of water by the word, it's vital to growth, strength and fullness. He cuts off every branch that doesn't bear fruit. And in one of the commentaries it says, dead wood is worse than fruitlessness. For dead wood can harbour disease and decay. And I thought, yeah, over the past 20 years, how many churches have become dead wood and closed their doors because there was no spiritual life in them? We can't survive without the Spirit. We as individuals and a corporate body have to be flowing with the Spirit of God. And we can't let stones get in the way and block up the flow. If there are any stones, we've been saying today, get rid of them. Because God wants you to let the river of God flow through from your innermost being. And this church will be filled, I promise you. But God is wanting his people to be the church. It's time, folks, to arise and be the church. A commentator said that when Jesus said, remain in me as I also remain in you, and he gave us the picture of the vine and the branch, he was emphasizing the complete dependence and the need for constant connection. The branch depends on the vine even more than the sheep. depends on the shepherd. Because without being connected to the sap going through to the branches, it's dead wood and the doors are closed. That's the end of it. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. It's our choice. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And as said before, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. If anyone doesn't abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. This is my commandment, that you love one another. You know, it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. And have you ever come into God's presence and that joy somehow is missing? Because you've got an issue. There's something not quite as it should be. I'm not the only one who's been there, is it? Are you? Am I? You get into his presence and the anointing's flowing and you're listening to the, trying to connect, but all the time there's this nagging. What about, what about, what about? Don't argue. Just let go. Give it to God and let it be dealt with. Because he wants the river to flow through you. God requires obedience. And I love it when it says that he didn't call us servants, he called us friends. From this time you are my friends. And the commentator was saying on that, only friends could be partners. Servants could become friends, but they could never become partners. And what are we? Co-heirs with Christ. He took us to partner with him. What a privilege. He said, just let me flow through you. As Andrew said, get out of the way. Just let me flow. Let me flow. Get rid of all hindrances. And I just want to finalise a bit here. Abiding in the vine is crucial. And he says we need to cultivate a continuous sensitivity to his voice. My sheep hear my voice. And this is interesting because in the Chinese language, it, as you know, it contains thousands of brush strokes, and some of those characters are pictographs, the pictorial representations of physical objects. How on earth they read it or write it, I haven't a clue. But interestingly, the character for a sage, wise man, it consists of a large ear and a small mouth. That says it all, doesn't it? It implies that a wise person is someone who listens well and speaks little. Wow, wow, wow. We were taking the dog for a walk yesterday and it was getting late, and a neighbour shouted, hello, hello, how are you doing? Come in and have a coffee. And we said, we've got to take Charlie a walk. We'll call on the way back. So we called on the way back, and there we were sat in the garden enjoying a cup of coffee. But bless her heart, his wife, who was absolutely lovely, never stopped talking. She went on and on and on, and nobody could get a word in edgeways. And we came out having, well, not a conversation, a lecture. And we left, and I said to Andrew, was it me or was it just all a one-way conversation? And he said, no, she perhaps needs to listen to this. A wise person consists of a large ear and a small mouth. Mike spoke really well on the woman at the well and brought some interesting thoughts out on Wednesday. And I really felt, even today, even to singing the songs, I was saying, God, what songs are we going to sing? But God's just orchestrated everything according to his spirit. And don't stress over anything. Because when you're led by the Spirit, as Andrew said, he takes care of a multitude of things, all connected. And you find that, everything got done. Everything was sorted. Every need was met. And I didn't have to worry about a thing. I just followed the Spirit. I just did what Jesus told me to do. I made time for him. And he took care of everything else. And I think that is just amazing. But when Jesus was led by the Spirit of God to the woman at the well, he brought out some very interesting thoughts. Jesus, by the Spirit, received a word of knowledge concerning her, didn't he? And he said, go and fetch your husband. And she says, I haven't got a husband. And he says, you've had five husbands, and the man you're married to now is not your husband. Well, she was absolutely staggered. And she went and she said to Jesus, well, she says, you must be the Messiah. And he said, I can give you living water that you know not of. And she said, give me this living water. And afterwards, she left immediately and she went back to her village. And she said, come see the man who told me everything I ever did. Well, historically, this lady is called Patini, or was called Patini. And her historical record is awe-inspiring. Just one woman who received a word of knowledge from Jesus. And not because he was the Son of Man, but because he was flowing as a man filled with the Spirit of God. Just like you and me. Patini went back to her village and she led the whole village to God. This snowballed to leading the whole city to God. She, her sons and her group of women led most of the Middle East to God. In Egypt, she had a vision of Jesus telling her to go to Rome. She, her sons, and a group of women went to Nero's Rome. When told by the Spirit of God that Nero was looking for her, she didn't run and hide. She went to the palace and she said, I believe you're looking for me. Nero asked if she was prepared to die for Jesus, to which she and her companions said yes. He ordered his troops to beat their hands for an hour with rods. Not one of their fingers was broken. He ordered stronger men to beat their hands again, and not one of their fingers was broken. When they were tempted to deny Jesus in exchange for all the wealth of Rome, she refused. And during the process, Nero's daughter and brother turned to God. Infuriated, Nero threw her into a fiery furnace for 3 days, after which she walked out. This was early church. Come on, church, we've not seen anything. Nero did finally destroy her. You know how? By throwing her into a well. And I was just, a lot of what followed there is what has already been said. But she had such power, such a powerful testimony, that it just astounded me. And I just believe that God wants us to go deeper and deeper into the Spirit of God, because there's so much we haven't even tapped into. And God's saying, come on, church, come on, church. You know, don't let this be just another sermon. Let this be a moment when we say, God, use me. Whatever it takes, I'm going to unstop this well and I'm going to let the living water flow. I'm going to come to church prepared, listening to your voice, recognizing that voice and releasing that voice as he speaks through me. You have no idea what God can do when we say we're available. If she turned, if Patini turned the city around, turned the Middle East around, turning intake around is not a problem, is it? We're the problem. It's not time to sit and... God never intended his church to be led from the front. Never. It's not about entertainment. I read about David today and it made me laugh in the message, because he said, God's not impressed with a perfect performance. And I thought, no, he's not. He can do far better than our perfect performance can ever achieve. Just one, like this afternoon, just listening and watching the flow of the Spirit and jumping in and saying, God, do it to me! Being so excited and so, just so free in his presence. That's all God wants. He wants everything you've got, your availability. He's not looking for your ability. He's saying, how available are you going to make yourself to me? And I'll do things that you, in your wildest dreams, could not imagine. Patini, in my wildest dreams, she did more than I could ever ask or imagine or think. She was just available to God. She was so passionate and so excited about God that she couldn't keep her mouth shut. You couldn't stop her. Wild horses couldn't stop her. She was not afraid of anything, of any challenge. She was so empowered and so anointed by the Spirit of God that she cut through the enemy like butter. Come on, folks, we haven't seen anything yet. I'm up for it. I say, let's do it. I say, let's come prepared and say, God, use me today. If you've given me a word of prophecy, I'll stand up and do it. I might tremble and shake and get it all... what I think is in a mess, but you can unravel that mess. It may mean something to somebody. Are we available to step out? He tells us, be fools for Christ. The world will say, well, unless you've got it all orchestrated, don't you dare get up. You'll look an idiot. Well, that's nothing to do with it. God is saying, just do it. Just do it. I'll equip you. And together, we shall see mighty works that you have never dreamed of or imagined. Amen.